all of us. Everyone at the State's Academic Medical Center. All working together to deliver complete care now and for generations to come. All over the state, including hospital and clinic locations from the Delta to the Gulf Coast. All for one reason. You, the University of Mississippi Medical Center. All for your health.
This is an MPB Think Radio podcast.
On Southern Remedy Healthy and Fit, you get information about foods you should eat to stay in good health and tips on how to stay active. I'm Josie Bidwell, host of Southern Remedy Healthy and Fit, an associate professor of preventive medicine at the University of Mississippi Medical Center. Listen to the show every Monday at 11 or subscribe to the podcast by searching for Southern Remedy with your preferred podcasting app. Thanks for joining us today here on Southern Remedy for Women. I'm your host, Josie Bidwell, nurse practitioner at the University of Mississippi Medical Center. And joining me today will be Constance Shelby. She's a registered dietitian and owner at Perfect Fit Nutrition. And we're going to be talking about weight loss for women today. It's a topic that almost everybody I see in clinic asks me about. And we're here to answer your questions today or any comments that you may have. Good morning, Constance.
Good morning.
Thank you for coming out at the end of the week. I know things kind of pile up during the week and it can be hectic, but thanks for making the time to come out today. And I knew you were going to be the perfect person to help me talk about this topic because it's what you do every day.
It is what I live and breathe.
Well, tell me a little bit about yourself, about Perfect Fit Nutrition, and we'll kind of get into some questions.
Okay. So I'm a mother of two girls and a wife. I feel like that's so important to say
it because is.
I tell my clients all the time, like, I'm just like you. I am running carpool. I am trying to balance all the things in life. And I started Perfect Fit Nutrition for that exact reason. We all know, you know, Josie, of all people, that the diet industry is wild right now, or it has been for years. And so I started to notice this trend amongst women. They had so many opinions coming at them about how to lose weight, the best things to eat, the best way to exercise, but none of them seemed to actually work for the women for the long haul. Mm-hmm. And so I started Perfect Fit based on its name to help you find your perfect fit to lose weight, because the way that you do it is not going to be the way that, like, your bodybuilding neighbor might do it, or, you know, your grandmother might do it. It's different for everyone, and that's where we kind of lose sight. And so that is the reason we started Perfect Fit Nutrition.
And I love the name for that, and I love the explanation behind that, because oftentimes people think that there is this one perfect diet for everyone, right? Or a perfect lifestyle, and it's absolutely not. There are commonalities that make up good balanced nutrition, but, you know, it's not a one-size-fits-all, and you will always find someone that has done any of the myriad fad diets that are out there and have found some success with that, and maybe even some lasting success with it. But the vast majority of people are not. And it's because it's much more nuanced than that, and what fits in with your life. And because we're all busy. You got two girls, I got two boys. Mm-hmm. You know, it's a struggle every day to kind of balance it all out. But we have to find that balance there and how we do it.
That's right.
So tell me about the Lean Queen lifestyle, because that's kind of the signature program, and I love it as well.
So the Lean Queen lifestyle is a membership program, and we started it about 2 years ago. And it is designed to just really fast-paced course teach these women how to still lose weight in their busy life and still eat the things that they love. Okay, and so, again, one thing that I noticed just when I started Perfect Fit, I was seeing clients one-on-one and really sitting down and digging in deep with them. And so there was this common pattern of, well, so-and-so said I need to eat Greek yogurt, and so-and-so said I need more fiber. And so, you know, certain nitpicky things, but when it came down to it, they didn't understand weight loss and eating as a whole, okay? And so when you understand nutrition and eating and weight loss as a whole, you understand that the world is not going to, you know, combust if you don't get your Greek yogurt in that day.
Right.
And so, and that doesn't mean you need to give up on all your goals. And mm-hmm. so Lean Queen Lifestyle was designed to kind of educate these mm-hmm. women on, which some are hesitant. Some are just like, tell me how to lose weight. But it was designed to educate them on, okay, this is what a calorie is. This is what protein mm-hmm. is for. This is why we need to move our bodies, not just to burn calories, but to feel right. better, you know, those type of things. And then along with that, myself and I have a staff dietitian, we both work to give each woman their own individualized nutrition recommendations. So Josie signs up, we assess, we ask you all these questions about your life, and we assess, okay, first of all, Josie is this tall and she weighs this much, so realistically she can only lose this amount per week without starving herself to
That's
death.
That's the key right there.
Right. And then secondly, Josie may have tried 1,500 diets, so she may not be ready to go in hardcore, mm-hmm. so we make sure to give her some room that feels comfortable mm-hmm. for how she eats every day. We really look at, and then also like third, Josie, you know, is trying to run a marathon, or Josie is lifting heavy weights, and that mm-hmm. matters as far as where we land with your nutrition recommendations. So each person gets their own personalized nutrition, but it comes with the education. And then after that, it's just lots of fun. which this is something I had not started out, you know, I never thought I was going to do this, but just like maybe you never thought you were going to be on the radio.
But I did not.
You know, I never thought I was going to create recipes, mm-hmm. but I do. I create recipes monthly. We roll out new recipes for busy mm-hmm. women. You can get it on the table in 30 minutes, and it's not some crazy, you know, ingredient you have to go to Whole Foods for kind of recipes. Mm-hmm. We do tip sheets with all kinds of good information. And then we have our support and our accountability group, which is by far everybody's favorite.
Of course.
I mean, how do you do it without a support group? You know?
You may do it for a week or two, but ultimately, you wind up sliding back to what you were doing before because the support is so important.
Exactly. And I think one thing that I have learned in this journey is that women, more than anything, need to hear me say, hey, girl, it's okay that you ate the Big Mac yesterday.
Yeah.
Like, yesterday is not today. You did not fail 1,000% just because you had a Big Mac yesterday. Mm-hmm. Like, what will cause your weight loss success to trend backwards is if you eat a Big Mac every day from here on out. You know, we make mistakes. We fall mm-hmm. off the wagon, but we got to get back on.
Yeah.
And a lot of times when you're on your own doing something like this, you get in your head. Weight loss is so mental.
It is. You know, stinking thinking.
That's right.
That's what our mutual friend Rebecca says. She calls it stinking thinking.
Yeah.
And that is, you know, it's so how we speak to ourselves in our head plays into the behaviors that we then, you know, translate into doing. And when we are so hard on ourselves,
yes.
you know, it sets up this cycle of, well, I messed up. I can't do this. I failed something again. Let me just go eat something else or
yeah.
not exercise. Or what's the point in exercising? Because I ate this many calories today, so there's no way for me to burn them off. And it's so important for us to just be kind
mm-hmm.
to the inner Josie in there. Like, love her. She's tried her best.
Right. And so we, inside the program, I mean, we focus on that, mm-hmm. right? We focus on how to talk positive to yourself and to others. I mean, mm-hmm. it really all matters. And so it's kind of a holistic approach mm-hmm. when we come to weight loss. But gosh, it has just been, it's been such an awesome, awesome thing to witness all these women who not only lose weight.
Keep it off.
Right. They keep it off. They improve their mental, you know, their mental health. They improve all aspects around mm-hmm. their health.
Yeah. And, you know, one thing that we do in Lifestyle Clinic that's so important, because we are not a weight loss clinic. Like, we are, you know, a medical clinic that applies different lifestyle strategies to help with blood pressure and blood sugar and, you know, knee pain and all these different kinds of things. But usually when I have a new person come in, I'll say, tell me how I can help you. And they say, well, I want to lose some weight. You know, that's the number one thing they say. And that's not a wrong answer. But I usually push back a little bit and I'll say, well, tell me about that. Like, what made you come in today and say that you want to lose weight? You know, what's kind of driving you? And that's what we try and focus in on, mm-hmm. right? Like, not your number on the scale, because all you beautiful women out there are more than a number on a scale. You are kind, loving humans who are, again, just trying to do their best. And we want to help you feel your best and be able to live, you know, as corny as it sounds, live your best life, you know. And if weight loss is something that's what you feel needs to happen to help you do that, we absolutely want to walk that journey with you every step of the way.
Right. And weight loss should not feel like a drill sergeant mm-hmm. type mentality.
Or a punishment.
A punishment. Mm-hmm. Weight loss should feel like I'm still enjoying my life every single day mm-hmm. as I make these attempts mm-hmm. to be healthier and lose some weight. You yeah. know, and that is the huge difference between like the fad diets that we're seeing out yeah. there these yeah. days.
Well, you know, we talk about it as being, and I use the word balance a lot, but you know, an example of that is, are you sacrificing your mental health mm-hmm. to try and, you know, eat quote unquote clean or, you know, perfect and follow this diet perfectly? If you are, then that's not balance, mm-hmm. right? You're giving up another part of your health to try and meet some, you know, set of guidelines that someone gave you. And that's not balance for health, right? You right. may lose some weight, but what did we, you know, what did we sacrifice in terms of that?
Is it sustainable for
yeah,
the long haul?
Probably
no way.
Not, yeah. Right? You know, or if you're not having family time at the end of your day because you're spending 2 hours in the kitchen trying to put together some, you know, bougie recipe, which now I'm a foodie. I love some bougie recipes and I like to cook bougie recipes, but not during the
you
week.
You enjoy it. Though,
I enjoy
right?
it. It's yeah. a stress reliever for me.
Me too.
And, but not during the week. Mm-hmm. That's not happening during the week. Mm-hmm. Like that's a Sunday afternoon activity mm-hmm. for me, you mm-hmm. know. And so I'm not going to sacrifice, you know, putting together a puzzle or, you know, watching a movie with my kiddos in the little amount of time we have after homework before mm-hmm. bedtime by, you know, monopolizing my time with something else. So that's when I'm always talking about balance is what I'm, you know, trying to do there. I'm Josie Bidwell. Joining me in the studio today is Constance Shelby. And we're talking about weight loss for women. And we've talked about Constance's program, the Lean Queen Lifestyle, that is so much fun. And, you know, really the basis behind how you make sustainable changes to your nutrition and that and really to your lifestyle in general, and that is not a one-size-fits-all thing for everyone. All right, Constance, now I don't know about you, but I have a lot of female patients who get very frustrated at the rate of their weight loss compared to other people, mm-hmm. and in particular compared to their male counterparts that live in the home with them. Because it's great when husbands kind of adopt some of these things together with their wife, and because, yeah. again, it's that support. You know, it's much easier to do it. But they tend to drop it a little bit faster than the ladies do, and they can get mad at each other.
It is so unfair. I mean, it is so unfair.
What's going on there?
Well, I mean, if you think about it, men are typically taller and mm-hmm. they weigh more than women, okay? Mm-hmm. And so it's kind of the same standard. Like, I tell my ladies all the time, we're doing a little challenge right now, and we had a report out on how much they weighed this morning. And so I'm like, girls, y'all stop comparing yourself. Because, like, one lady was like, I lost a pound, and the other one was like, I lost four. And so the lady who lost a pound was like, well, I didn't lose that much. And I'm like,
but you lost a pound.
You lost a pound, and that a pound for you is a much higher percentage. Mm-hmm. It's probably the same percentage of weight loss as that lady that lost four, you know. And so it's really an unfair standard to compare your husband's 6 pound weight loss if he stops drinking a Coke a day, mm-hmm. you know, to your own, when you both are, you know, applying super practical principles mm-hmm. to try to lose the weight. Mm-hmm. So men do lose faster because, first of all, they eat more as a maintenance.
They have a bigger calorie requirement
right.
just to maintain their body.
Right. And so it is what it is. Mm-hmm. If they cut, it just tends to fall off faster, mm-hmm. you know.
And there are like some hormonal things that go into play there that, you know, depend on. I mean, you got to think women, especially premenopausal mm-hmm. women, like our bodies are built for growing a human, right? Mm-hmm. And so, you know, our metabolism is a little different based on that. And then once we go through menopause and that process kind of shuts down, our weight kind of starts to shift around, mm-hmm. move from kind of like the hipple area to more the, that's a good word, the hipple area, which is just your hips, to more belly, mm-hmm. belly weight. Mm-hmm. And that can be, belly weight can be a little bit more stubborn to try and get off. And there's no kind of spot training way to do that, or spot way of eating. There's no magic food that will melt it off right there on your belly.
Say it again for the people in the back. No, ma'am.
We're like, I want to get rid of this. And I'm like, well,
what can I eat to lose belly fat?
Yeah. And it's marketed that way. Mm-hmm. You know, I mean, there are a lot of fad diets out there or supplements that are out there that talk about melting belly fat away. And just it doesn't work that way, you know. And so, you know, if you want to compare yourself to anybody, compare yourself to yourself.
Right.
You know, where did you start? And how are we doing? And if we didn't lose any weight, that's okay, too.
And aside from the weight, mm-hmm. the scale, right, I tell my ladies, like, okay, yes, definitely weigh yourself, but also make sure the battery doesn't need to be changed, you know, because that can give you a heart attack.
Yep.
But take inches and take pictures, because for a lot of us women, just like you said, hormonal fluctuations, every week is different for us.
You're puffier or whatever.
Yes. Yeah. Like some mornings I wake up, I'm like, I can't put my rings on. What is happening? Mm-hmm. You know? And so, and then also if you're exercising at all, this can play a part in what the scale reads. But if you are getting those inches, if you were, you know, literally, hello, my pants are not as tight.
Right.
Then you know, even if the scale is saying the same way, you know, some change is happening. And that's encouraging. That's just as encouraging, if not more encouraging, mm-hmm. than a scale.
Yeah. Yeah. I call those non-scale victories.
Yes.
Right. And, you know, we take it one step further. I'm like, but how do you feel?
Mm-hmm.
And I don't, not how you feel in your head about your weight. Like, pay attention to your body. How does your body feel, right? Are you having less aches and pains? Do you have more energy? Mm-hmm. You know, all these different kinds of things that aren't something that I can measure, you know, in an office visit, but those are the things that matters, right? Like, what's our quality of life? Is it better than before we started, you know?
That's right. Because if you feel better,
you do better.
Just like mm-hmm. we talked about just a minute ago, if you feel better, you've got a better attitude mm-hmm. around life, more motivation mm-hmm. to keep going, mm-hmm. right?
Yeah. And, you know, so, and I also like the percentage that you mentioned, and we calculate that for patients a lot as well. You know, what percent of your body weight have you lost? Because it's going to depend on, like, 1 pound for one person may be a completely different percentage of their weight loss than the 4 pounds that you had before. We actually had a patient just this morning who has lost 15 pounds, and she was like, oh, I kind of wanted it to be more, you know. Mm-hmm. And I said, well, let's see, like, how much of that, how much of your body weight have you lost? It was 5%. You know what I mean? You lost 5% of your body weight, you know. And then when you tie that to the fact that we know from science that losing 5% of your body weight starts to decrease your risks of breast cancer, of heart attacks and strokes and diabetes, all these kinds of things, like that's a big old win right there.
It's huge.
You know?
Huge.
And so it's important to set those little mini wins for you along mm-hmm. the way that mm-hmm. don't include a number, you know, a number on the scale. And another one that I like to do is, you know, most folks that aren't, you know, making lifestyle adjustments, they tend to add a few pounds every year. Mm-hmm. Right. Like the scale just mm-hmm. tends to creep up. And so, you know, benefit of having, you know, their entire medical record in front of me, I can look back, you know, 3-4 years back and show them, like, look, your weight just crept up every year and now we're plateaued. Like, no, you haven't lost any, but we stopped that upward trajectory of weight gain year over year. And so, again, that's a win.
That
you
is
know,
a win.
That's a win. So, again, being kind to yourself, setting good, realistic expectations for what you're trying to achieve, and then building in those little mini goals mm-hmm. along the way to get you there. So, what do you see? Because you work with mostly women. Mm-hmm. I work with all the peoples. What kind of are the main challenges that you see when working with women trying to lose weight?
So my group of women are typically that busy woman mm-hmm. that's got 100 things going on. You know, she struggles to find time for herself in general. Mm-hmm. So I find that a lot of times for my subset of women, it's the consistency, mm-hmm. right? It is like, okay, I'll do really good 1 week. I'll fix all these healthy meals. And then the next week it is totally crazy because Johnny has soccer and Susie has ballet and, you know, all the different things. And so it's the lack of consistency, which then turns into that failure mentality, mm-hmm. right? And so for us, it is The biggest focus is to take away all the to-dos around weight loss and really just encouraging them to stay the course with the basics, mm-hmm. right? Because then you don't feel so overwhelmed when life comes back into play, because it's going to come back into play.
Oh, yeah.
Just because you decide to lose weight doesn't mean the world stops, mm-mm. you know? And that's where we make that mistake with trying to make all these different changes.
We call them potholes, and you will fall into
one. I love that. Oh, I love that.
On this journey, there will be many a pothole.
I love that. Yeah. And so aside from that, just like the personal life things, we do have a lot of breastfeeding women. Mm-hmm. And so that is a struggle, right? Mm-hmm. Because just the hormones are on 10 there. And so they struggle to see that steady drop because they're breastfeeding. Mm-hmm. Same with our menopausal or our premenopausal women. It is an up and down battle for them. And so again, though, it all goes back to that consistency. Mm-hmm. Do not give up on yourself because the weight will come off, mm-hmm. you know.
So how do we start to build in consistency into this journey?
So funny you ask. We, in this little challenge that we're doing right now, we set some really clear basic goals around five main focuses of weight loss. Now, you don't have to do all five. Pick one, mm-hmm. right? And so pick one that you feel like you can most realistically do. For a lot of my women, that may just look like, if you were literally spinning 100 plates, you know, at one time, that may just look like drinking your water.
Mm-hmm.
Like, okay, I'm going to take in half my body weight in ounces of water a day. And that, if anything, like you just said, makes you feel so much better.
Mm-hmm. Going to make you pee for a little
pee,
bit.
Yeah.
But it gets better.
It gets better. But then if you're okay with that, a lot of times we tell them, hey, just track your intake, mm-hmm. okay? It does not have to look like, you know, five fruits and vegetables a day. We would love, love, love that. But to start, just track, okay? Mm-hmm. You can do it on a piece of paper if you don't like tracking apps, or there are 100 tracking apps out there for you. Just to kind of know, hey, this is where I need to be if I want to see some weight loss. And this is where I am mm-hmm. every day. This is how it adds up for me. And so how does that look? How does that balance out? Because, you know, just as well as I do, people will come in eating quinoa and sauteed kale and all the good things. But at the end of the day, it still adds up to be more calories than they need to lose the weight. Mm-hmm. And so tracking is a really great place to just start. You can do it from anywhere. You know, mm-hmm. you can do it at the beginning of the day, after every meal, at the end of the day, however it works mm-hmm. best for you to really see the difference and where we need to make some changes.
Yeah. And, you know, it, just like you mentioned, it may be a piece of paper that you do and all. That's fine. It may be an app. I have one lady that just takes pictures of her meals, like, mm. and because she's, you know, super busy during the day, those kinds of things, doesn't feel like she has time to log everything in there. I was like, well, just take some pictures of your meals, and then at the end of the day, if you've got some time, put them in one, you know, put them in the app, put it down on paper. But at least you can start to see mm-hmm. some of the things. I was like, the reflection piece is the important part of tracking, mm-hmm. right? Like, I'm not asking you to track your stuff because I want to make you feel bad.
Right.
You know, I'm not going to be mad at you. People think that all the time. They're like, oh, I don't want to write it down because you're going to be disappointed in me or mad in me. I'm like, girl, that ain't my job. Mm-mm. Right. Like, I'm not going to be mad at you. This is for you to start to see where maybe your gaps are or where, you know, you are spending the bulk of your calories, you know, and are there ways that we can adjust that? And 9 times out of 10, people will come back and say, I did not realize.
Yes.
That I was eating so much stuff.
And that is why I'm like, don't even talk to me unless you've tracked.
Yeah.
Because, you know, a lot of it is self-realization. Mm-hmm. And sometimes we just, in our heads, we're thinking, gosh, we're doing so good. What's wrong? Something's mm-hmm. got to be wrong. Mm-hmm. I need to go to the doctor. Mm-hmm. And really, it's just, okay, I need to sit down and really look at myself mm-hmm. and look at what I'm taking mm-hmm. in day to day. Because, again, we are so busy mm-hmm. that sometimes we forget we grabbed that cinnamon roll walking out of the break right. room. Or sometimes we forget we ate almost a whole other meal in our kids' leftovers. You know what I mean?
That one right there. So when I had, you know, my kids are older now, 14 and 11, and they eat all of the things on their mm-hmm. plate now because they're boys. And I don't know where they put it all, but they put it somewhere. But when they were little, you know, I would fix them something and, you know, kids pick at it and do all this kind of stuff. And you'd have, you know, 3 chicken nuggets left mm-hmm. there, you know, or a handful of french fries or whatever. And you're like, well, I'll just, I don't really have time to sit down and eat, so I'll just, you know, what's left of theirs. And all those little nibbles added up for me. And when, you know, when my youngest was, I guess he was probably 2 or 3, I was walking down the hallway and I caught a glimpse of myself in the mirror at the side, and like I stopped and like did it, and I was like, who is that? Like, I didn't even recognize her. And, you know, I mean, I was not super overweight, but I was overweight. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I actually stopped and turned around and looked at myself in the mirror, and I was like, who are you? Like, you are not who I feel like I used to be. Mm-hmm. Like, that's not, like, really, girl? Like, who are mm-hmm. you? Like, the girl that I thought I was has just kind of been dwarfed by somebody who's spending all of her energy taking care of everybody else, you know, and not pouring into myself. And that's a very common thing for moms and for women, is we're usually fixers, mm-hmm. you know, and trying to take care of everybody else. And I had to have a real frank conversation with myself in my head about the fact that I can't take care of anybody if I don't take care of myself.
Right.
Because I'm going to burn out.
Right. And that does not mean that you're neglecting the others in your life, right?
Well, for my kids, like, they see me intentionally choosing to walk or to, you know, eat a fruit or mm-hmm. eat a vegetable mm-hmm. or, you know, drink my water. And I talk through those things. Like, this is a choice that I'm making to do this, and this is why I'm doing it. I'm doing it to fuel my body so that I got energy to play with you, mm-hmm. right? Because you want to go outside and play soccer that I don't know anything about, but I'm going to go out there and we're going to act like it. You know, and that, for me, that's what the light bulb kind of switched on. I was like, you have to find her. You have to find her, who you thought you were, that has gotten lost along the way in taking care of everybody. And I found her, you know, and I love her. Mm-hmm. And she's wonderful. Mm-hmm. And now sometimes we argue. And I don't get it right every day, you know, just like you were saying. But it's about the consistency, right? So if I ate something yesterday that I know is not pushing me closer to a health goal, mm-hmm. that's okay. It's just about how am I going to do different mm-hmm. today.
Snap out of that mental funk and get right back to it.
Well, it's usually like what I tell people is think about why, right? Like, why did you mm-hmm. choose to do that, mm-hmm. right? Because if we don't have that reflection piece on how our day went and why we did the things that we did, it's just going to repeat itself right. the next day.
Right.
Right. And so did you have that Big Mac because you forgot to pack your lunch that morning?
Or were you stress eating? And how is that different?
Right. And again, that's going to be different for every single person. And, you know, if it's that you forgot to pack your lunch, then let's think about some things that you can keep in your car mm-hmm. that might be a better mm-hmm. snack option to munch on than the Big Mac. You know, it's all about what kept you from reaching the goal that you wrote for yourself. Because I don't know about you, but never do I see people that it's just they don't want to. Mm-hmm. Or they don't have really good intentions, mm-hmm. right? There's just a pothole that popped up that derailed the whole thing.
Yes.
And until we put some asphalt in that pothole, we're just going to keep hitting it, every single time. And that's really the piece about the reflection and the just being real with yourself.
I love the reminder about your why, mm-hmm. you know, like that. And so when our ladies log in to, they have their own little private dashboard accounts. And so when they log in, my techie website guy, he set it up so that they could see, like, one of their questions is, what is your why? And so mm-hmm. somehow he made it to where that's what they see when they log in. Mm-hmm. And so they see their why every time they log in. And I just think that's so powerful.
It is.
Like, losing 5 pounds to go to the beach, that's a short-term why, but like, the whys of so many of these mm-hmm. women are so much deeper and so felt by mm-hmm. me, you know.
Oh, yeah. And, you know, I'll ask people that. I'm like, well, but why? And they're like, well, I want to feel better. And I'm like, but what does that mean to you? Like, how will your life be different if you were able to lose this weight? You know, you wind up with these really deep things. Like, using the beach example that you had, I have a lovely patient that she vacations to the beach with her family but can't walk down to the beach. Mm. And so that's what she wanted to do, is be able to walk down to the beach and sit with her grandkids. You know, and I was like, well, that's our our goal, right? It's not this number on the scale. It's not any of these other kinds of things. It's getting you down to the water with your grandbabies to make some memories down there, you know, and that's our why. And write it down and put it somewhere where you can see it, just like your folks see it on their dashboard. I have people write it on a sticky note, stick it on their mirror.
Love it.
I have in my office at UMC, I have my why written on my whiteboard. And so it's up there. It says, love God, love family, love others. And those are the whys that I do the things that I do, you know. And so when someone asks me to do something, I go, well, does it meet one of my whys, you know? And if it doesn't, I'm, you know, is that where I want to spend my energy, right? Or do I want to spend my energy on something that's going to pour back into kind of my why,
right,
you know, for everything, for getting up in the morning and continuing on. It's important to let those things kind of drive your actions.
That's right. Yeah. I love that.
Yeah. You know, when we're talking about women, we always don't want to, women don't live in a bubble, right? They live with other people, right? Maybe other women that they live with, maybe men, maybe children, maybe grandparents and all these other kinds of things in there. And that social support piece, and, you know, just because you start on a lean queen journey, right? You can bring your family along with that, right?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely.
And it's important to balance that.
I mean, yeah. So we do have an option where they can add their husband.
Oh, just, that's nice.
Now, he's not invited into our support group, but he can get his own numbers. And like you said earlier, like lose 6 pounds alongside. And then also a lot of our recipes and things are, everything is very kid friendly. We're so aware of how we influence our children as well.
Yes,
since we are primarily mothers. So
this is Josie Bidwell, and joining me today is Constance Shelby, and we've been talking about weight loss strategies for women. All right, let's kind of dive into some of those myths, because there are a plenty of myths out there as they relate to weight loss in general, and particularly weight loss for women. I know we could do a whole show on the weight loss.
I call it
nutrition confusion.
Yes. And so sometimes I get on my soapbox and I have to like step off for a minute. Let's see. Okay. Some of my biggest pet peeves, I think, are around just the fads that are specific to exclusions or timing.
Yes.
Because again, it goes back to what we just talked about. Like, it doesn't fit for a lot of people. Like, you can't ask a busy floor nurse to intermittent fast and not pass out. I mean, literally, you know.
Yeah. We intermittent fast, not on purpose.
Right. I mean, and it's not, there's no calculation to it. And then odds are, you know, there's lots of yummy things to follow it up with in the break rooms. But
yeah.
So intermittent fasting is one where I know, you know, there is like some minor research on it.
Yeah.
But I don't think it is grand enough to literally sit there and starve yourself.
Well, head-to-head comparisons, right? Like, if you compare intermittent fasting to just traditional, well-balanced nutrition, there's not, like, this extra statistically significant increase in weight loss
you're
with that.
About, like, 50-calorie
right.
difference.
When you look at some of the other things, like aging, like literally aging of the genes and those kinds of things, there's a little bit better evidence for that.
Right.
But again, what are we giving up to do that, right? And is it our energy and our mental health? And if it is, then that might not be the right, you know, the right plan for you.
Right.
All right. We got a couple of callers on the line. So we will go up to Memphis and say, good morning, Steve. How can we help you? Steve, are you with us? Oh, we may have just a smidgen bit of technical difficulty, but that's all right. So while we work to get Steve on, we'll talk about, we were talking about restrictions, right?
Yes.
And while restrictions just set us up for.
And so another weight loss myth, I would say, is a lot now that we've got a lot of these awesome products out here for people with food allergies or food intolerances. I mean, think about the shelves now compared to 10 years ago with like gluten-free products, dairy-free. Those don't automatically equal weight loss either. A lot of people want to hop on the gluten-free train to try to lose weight when we're really just thankful that these people who can't tolerate gluten have products available. And it's not the same, right?
Yeah.
So cutting out certain ingredients and certain products in the name of weight loss, as I say, right. is not, you know, that's a myth. Yeah. That's a huge myth.
Yeah.
They still have calories and fat and everything
else. A lot of it's marketing as well, you know, where things that didn't have gluten in them to start with.
Hey, that is my biggest frustration right now.
Get a sticker on the front that says gluten-free because it makes people pick it up and buy it. And I'm like, if it didn't have it,
ground beef never had gluten,
right,
babe. Like,
right.
That's it.
I'm like, that came that way. It's like cholesterol-free bananas. I saw that sign one day.
Stop.
And I was like, all of them are cholesterol-free because there are no livers in bananas. And if there is, you were shopping at the
wrong place.
That's
just a positive framing of also true information.
Yes, yes, absolutely. It is. And like you said, there are people with absolute allergies to these things mm-hmm. and intolerance to these things. And so we're not saying don't choose those products
right.
if you have
if
that.
You
absolutely
do.
And if you like it, right? Like if you mm-hmm. like brown rice pasta instead of wheat pasta, sure, mm-hmm. right? But it's not a magic food that's
right.
going to make you just drop weight just because we have some, you know, it doesn't have gluten in it,
right.
you know. And that can be the same for, you know, any other foods out there. All right, I believe we have Steve from Memphis. Steve, how can we help you today?
Yes, I was wanting to get some help for my daughter, possibly.
Okay. Okay. Tell us a little bit about that.
Well, she's 14, fixing to be 15. Over the last few years, she's gained more weight. You know, I've not tried to press making her lose weight. You know, things have been put into her head about you can't tell me what I can and can't eat, you know. And
that's a teenager.
And there's been a struggle there between the wife and the father, you know, trying to find a balance.
Mm-hmm.
And so she came to me the other day and said, "Dad, I want to lose weight." They're bullying her, you know, and mm-hmm. stuff like that. And, you know, typical of what's going on, you know, in the United States and probably everywhere.
Mm-hmm.
And as a kid, I tried to tell her that I was overweight, was bullied. And I learned when I joined the military, I lost weight. But I'm just trying to find a way to ease her into a different lifestyle and exercise and making better choices. And I could just use some help.
Sure. Constance, what do you got?
So one of my favorite tools, because I feel like especially our young impressionable teen girls, especially,
know.
You know, we don't want to just dive them off into like a whole lot of food label and tracking
right.
and stress, you know, things that make them have certain perceptions around food in general. So one of my favorite tools for the younger generation is, have you ever heard of the red light?
Red light,
yellow light,
green light.
Yep. And so, Steve, you should be able to literally just Google this. They have tons of tip sheets out there that kind of outline what it is. But basically, the red light foods are going to be like our junk foods. The yellow light foods are going to be our sometimes foods. And the green light foods are going to be our, you know, go ahead
mm-hmm.
foods. And this is a really right. a good way to just kind of give her an idea of, okay, this is where I need to focus. And, you know, these are the things that I need to make sure I kind of limit if I'm trying to change my way of eating. I do really, really encourage you inside the home, you and your wife, you know, not really looking at it or speaking about it as a way of weight
mm-hmm.
at this age, more of a, you said you wanted to feel better. You said you wanted to change some of your eating habits, this type of thing. We don't want it to feel like we're trying to change her way of eating simply so she can, you know, drop a pant size, because as you just said, teenagers, right?
Yeah.
And that will backfire and they will become rebels most of the time.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Yeah, and I agree with that 100%. You know, we want to make it less about the numbers and less about the weight and more about nourishing her
mm-hmm.
body, you
mm-hmm.
know. And when I talk to younger folks, the teenage group, I talk about how you have a strong, beautiful, wonderful body, and we want to nourish it. And there are foods that are better at nourishing it in terms of just helping you be as healthy and as strong as you can be. And we focus on adding those, right? Those green light foods, like we add those green light foods. And so I don't worry so much about trying to restrict out those other foods. It's how do we add these really, really good for us foods? Because once you start to make those the focus of your meals, you kind of naturally decrease some of the other ones in there. And, you know, do it as a family. You know, that it's not to help you lose weight. It's to help the entire family be healthy and nourished, you know, as a family unit. And, you know, pick an activity that you all enjoy to go do. You know, maybe that is riding bikes. Maybe that is going for a walk in the neighborhood. Maybe that is just going to a park and letting her sit and scroll on her phone for a while, because I know that's what teenagers do. I have one.
Well,
you know,
she's been talking about playing. She knows that I used to play tennis with my other older daughter. And so I thought it would be something. It's a little bit of running, but standing, and she's learning it. And I thought, you know, she made a comment about that. So I thought maybe that might be something that could, you know, help burn some calories. Father-daughter time.
Exactly. That's what I was going to latch on to, was instead of thinking about it as calorie burn, just think of it as dad-daughter time, and really getting to love on each other and spend that quality time together, learn a skill for her. And, you know, the side effect of that is burning some calories, you know, not the focus.
Right.
But, Steve, you're doing good. You sound like a good supportive daddy. I will let you know, UMC, we have a pediatric weight management clinic where there's dietitians and nurse practitioners and other staff that work specifically with the pediatric population on weight. That is an option as well, that you might reach out to them for an evaluation if y'all choose to go that route. But, you know, just pick something small and get started.
Well, thank you so much for your time. I love your show.
Oh,
I just run across it. I was listening to it, and keep up the good work, and thank you for all the advice.
You're so welcome, and thank you for listening and for giving us a call today. All right, Constance, we're in the last little segment of the show. So I want to talk about, what do we do when our weight loss plateaus?
Oh, girl.
The plateau. Mm. The dreaded, haven't lost any weight, plateau.
I mean, okay, it happens, right? Mm-hmm. How many minutes do I have?
You have 6 minutes.
Okay, so plateau happens. It's a pretty normal thing, right? And so I always give my girls this example, and so I will give it here. Our bodies, right? We were not designed to like look hot in our skinny jeans and like all the things. We were designed
to live.
Right. We were designed to survive and thrive, right? Mm-hmm. To live. And so back in the day, our ancestors, right, the body was designed and still is designed to survive.
And
okay?
To store stuff.
To store things up so that we can survive, because there was not always a fast food restaurant on every corner, right? Mm-hmm. We had to either kill what we ate or harvest what we ate.
It was moving fast, and we didn't have fancy equipment to
I mean, it was a good day if we got one, you know what I mean? And so because of that, our body still, that's its reaction, right, is, oh, this girl is not going to feed me today, or she's not going to feed me enough today. Mm-hmm. Hello, all you below 1,200 calorie dieters out there. And so it hoards it. It stores it. So if we stay on a lower calorie diet for a certain amount of time, our body will start to stop burning the fat as efficiently. Okay? It's just the way it's designed.
It's just, it wants to live for as long as it can,
right,
and it thinks the food's gone away.
Like you were a threat to it by your eating behavior at this point. And so for a lot of my ladies, if they've been in this calorie deficit for a while, we do something we call flex, which, I don't know, the general population uses the term cheat day, but I literally hate that.
Oh, I
because
can't stand
it's
the
like,
word cheat day. What are you cheating on?
Well,
stop.
And it's like, you imagine like this huge table full of all the bad foods in front of you, you know, but it's just, it's flex. Mm-hmm. It's where we kind of hit back to our maintenance intake or even higher. To what are we doing? Essentially, we're tricking our body into thinking, oh, wait, just kidding. She's going to feed me, and she's going to feed me plenty, you know? And so it snaps, or it shocks our body back into place to allow us to start burning a little bit more. Now, there are plenty of other ways to get out of that plateau. You can drink more water. You can change up your activity, just like, you know, taking up tennis, like mm-hmm. Steve was talking
That's right.
You can get more rest. A lot of oh my goodness, I mean the women we are talking to right now, the sleep and the stress are a huge part of a plateau mm-hmm. for some of us. So there are tons of different ways to get out of it. And I think the really important thing to remember is if you are on a weight loss journey, it happens to everybody. Mm-hmm. Nothing's wrong with you. This is not when you're supposed to give up, okay? Because it happens to everybody over time.
Mm-hmm. And what I see happen is folks plateau, and then they go, well, I got to drop my calories even more. And you were already, sucking fumes on the number of calories, right? You know, like you mentioned 1,200. I never recommend anybody go below a 1,200-calorie diet. It's just not a food. It's how much you feed a toddler. Mm-hmm. And so our body it needs more to do the things. Mm-hmm. And a lot of times when people come in that first visit with me and we're talking, they'd be like, you know, I just don't really eat much. I don't know why I'm not losing weight. And I'm like, because you're not eating much.
Right.
You know, and your body is hanging on to those things. And they're really surprised when I'll say, you know, I don't want you eating 1,300 calories a day. Like, let's feed you.
That is the hardest client
let's
I have.
Feed
is
you.
The one that comes in already starving themselves mm-hmm. and don't understand.
Right.
Why.
We got to unpack it all, reset the way we think about it.
And it's
feed
so
you.
Scary to it eat is. 1,600 calories for them. I mean, it is so scary.
I know. And that's a really important mark. Like, it's easy for us to say that just sitting here, and in no way am I, you know, undermining the difficulty of doing that, right? Like that, it's not just me saying, well, I need for you to eat more,
right?
Like, we're going to really work with, you know, you need to find somebody that you can work through that with, and, you know, the thoughts you have around those calories and, you know, the thought you have around eating and all of those kinds of things, because ultimately we got to feed you, you know, we got to feed you so that you can run your body efficiently and then make smart changes to it to be able to get you to your goals. But, you know, you mentioned the sleep, and the sleep is so important. And actually, this Monday's show on Healthy and Fit will be all about sleep. And so we're going to spend a whole hour talking about the importance of sleep.
Cool.
And we'll tie that into how it impacts weight and how it impacts cardiovascular health. But just like you mentioned, there are, you know, lots of things that you can try when you've kind of stalled. One, I ask, you know, how much are you eating, right? And are we eating enough? Again, how much water are you drinking? If you're just slap dehydrated, everything slows down.
Mm-hmm.
And then what are you doing for workout? You know, are you just doing cardio, right? Mm-hmm. Which cardio is great. But if we're trying to really lose some weight, we got to work on that lean muscle tissue, girl. We got to lift a little bit. And that doesn't mean you got to lift like champion, but push and pull against your own body weight, you know, go through some resistance type exercises so that we can support that good, healthy, lean muscle tissue.
The point is everyone plateaus for a different reason.
That's right.
I mean,
and there's not going to be a one size fits all.
There's not a cookie cutter.
Mm-mm. And it's certainly usually not dropping your calories.
Girl, no.
Even lower. All right, Constance, that was a quick old hour we had there. But thank you for joining me on Southern Remedy, which is a production of MPB Think Radio and is funded in part by a grant from UMMC. Southern Remedy for Women is produced by Jay White, and the podcast producer is Jermaine Flood. I've been your host, Josie Bidwell, with my guest, Constance Shelby. Be sure to tune in every weekday at 11 for the full Southern Remedy lineup.
This is an MPB Think Radio podcast. To hear previous shows, visit mpbonline.org or download the MPB Public Radio app to listen on your iPhone or Android phone on demand.